Well, open your scriptures there tonight to the Gospel of John chapter 15. I'd like to talk about abiding in Christ tonight. Abiding in Christ in John chapter 15 is just before our Lord Jesus was going to go to the cross, and he spent time with his disciples, and he knew his time was short, and he was wanting to give them what they needed for the time to come. In John chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is a true husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Let's pray here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this topic we'll look at tonight, abiding in Christ in John chapter 15. And Father, we thank you for these words our Lord Jesus gave to his disciples. And Lord, they are still as applicable then as today as they were then. So Lord, help us tonight to have eyes to see and ears to hear of all that you have for us as your people. So bless your word to our hearts tonight. And Lord, may I honor your son and your word and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this phrase here that he uses imagery of the vine and the branches. And in the land of Israel, this was a very good illustration because they were well acquainted with the vine and branches. And has anybody raised grapes before? Anybody raised grapes? Okay. Oh, Marlon has. Jim, okay.
We used to have one when we moved there.
Okay.
We got some from the first year.
After that, it kind of went downhill, right? Okay. Yeah, they need some maintenance work. Yes, absolutely. Well, the Lord Jesus, he uses illustration, and our Lord Jesus is a master teacher, and he uses these things so people can see an ordinary thing and make a spiritual application to it. And that's what a parable is. It casts alongside a spiritual truth. And so he used the vine and the branches, and he says, "I am the true vine." Okay, he's the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now, in the King James, it says husbandman. Does somebody have another translation for what husbandman means? He's what?
Vine
the vine dresser. He dresses the vines. Now, one thing about dressing vines, if a branch gets dead, you'll cut it out. And you ever pruned your trees? Because dead branch, you prune your trees. Now, if you were to ask the vine and the branches, do they like pruning? If they could talk, what do you think the response would be about pruning? Would they appreciate the pruning? Okay, now, years ago, my wife and I went down to Longwood Gardens. And you ever been to Longwood Gardens? And it's an incredible place. If you haven't been, you ought to go. It's amazing. And Pierre DuPont, he used to raise grapes that were about this big around. And what they would do, meticulously, when the cluster of grapes would come, one of the techniques, no grape could touch another grape. So they'd actually clip the grapes around so it was just a few grapes hanging there. But they would meticulously prune every branch that was not needed or dead. They had pruned that thing because the ultimate goal was they wanted big fruit. They had these grapes. So when they had big banquets and stuff there, they'd have those world famous big grapes and nobody could figure out how they do it. But that was their technique in his conservatory there, how they raise the grapes. Now, with that being said, if God wanted you to have big grapes in your life, and he removed some little grapes from you so that there was big grapes. Now, little grapes, are those living or dead things? Little grapes. Are they living or dead? They're living. Now, oftentimes we think about pruning, we prune the dead branches. Can God ever prune some good things out of your life so that you might be a better person for him? Do you know what I'm saying? Can he take, if you got too many good things on the table, you may not be doing anything well. And sometimes some good things slide off the table so that what you are doing can be more fruitful for him. And so with this imagery here, the vine dresser, when God looks at our life, no pruning seems enjoyable. No pruning seems like it's a good thing. But why does God prune us here as a vine dresser? Verse 2, every branch in me, now that's the key thought there, that's in Christ. Every branch that's in Christ that beareth not fruit, okay, a dead branch, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he what? What's that next word there in verse 2? He purges it or prunes it. Now, it's bearing fruit, but he wants better fruit. And sometimes in our lives, God will do something. You say, well, Lord, this was so good. What's wrong with this? But in God's perspective, he might be moving you to more fruitfulness by taking some things off the table that might be hindering your more fruitfulness. Although we may see it as fruit, God may see it in something that keeps us from more fruit. He purges it, he prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. So that imagery there is a very good image for us in our Christian life. Now, verse 3, now you are clean through or because of the word which I have spoken unto you. The word of God is, God uses the Spirit of God and the word of God to prune our lives and the working of his sovereignty in our lives. So we're clean because of the word, the scriptures. Why do we have devotions? I've said this before. Devotion sometimes is no more than getting a spiritual bath. Okay, we take baths to get the filth off. Sometimes we have devotions. Not that we get anything new, we just get the filth away. Because when you walk in this world, we need a spiritual foot cleansing. Why do they wash their feet in New Testament times? Because they walk on the dusty roads, they get dirty, and they wanted to get their feet clean before they went into the house. Well, devotions is like that sometimes. It's just we want to be clean before God, and we want to have that right spirit with God at all times. So, verse 3, you're clean through the word because of the word I've spoken to you. Now, again, you have this concept. Verse 1, in me. Verse 4, abide in me. Now, give me a definition of abiding. What does abiding mean? Abiding is, okay, dwelling, okay. Dwelling, like dwelling beside or with, okay. If a husband and wife are dwelling together, what are they having if they're in good communion with each other?
Communication,
okay. What's a bigger umbrella you could put communication under? Communication is exactly right, but what can you put on top of that, kind of take a little bit more in?
Fellowship,
that's what I was thinking of. They're in good fellowship together. Okay, if you're dwelling and you got good communication, you got good fellowship happening there. Now, okay, so it says here, abide in me. Well, the verse right before it says, now you are clean. If a person isn't clean, how do we get clean spiritually? Right. Okay. So you got submitting or humbling yourself. There's confession. There's obedience. I mean, to be clean, there's a lot of different factors that come into that. But the concept here, before you get to verse 4, you want to make sure you've walked through verse 3. Now you're clean through the word. You want to make sure you're clean spiritually. When you're clean, you can abide. You can have that fellowship by good communication, dwelling. You can have that abiding life of Christ. Abide in me and I in you. That's good communion. That's good fellowship. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. The abiding life is a fruitful life. If we're outside of Christ's will, if we're outside of the Christian life, if we're not clean, we're not going to bear fruit. How can you tell you're saved? What are some of the ways you can tell you're saved? Can you tell you're saved? What's this, Marlon?
Love the brethren.
Okay, love the brethren. There's fruit of the Spirit. And these things that when you're abiding in Christ are certain things that should be evident in a Christian's life. Okay, what I want to do now is, because if we're verse 2 is abide in me, verse 4 is abide in me. Abide means to have fellowship, to dwell within, to dwell beside, to have Christ Lord. Okay, look at verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. Abide in me, and I in him. The same shall bring forth much fruit. Now you had before, you had the you bear fruit in verse 4. Then you got in verse 5, much fruit. And so he that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. We're totally dependent upon God. So for without me, you can do nothing. If God uses you in whatever ministry, if God uses you in whatever way in your life, and God is using you in his kingdom, can we ever take that credit to ourselves and applaud ourselves? See, where should the credit go if God uses us? It should go to God. See, that's, apart from me, you can do nothing. So any way that God uses us, all the glory goes to him and the praise. When the 24 elders cast their crowns at the throne, they were saying, Lord, you alone are worthy of glory and honor, dominion and power. They cast their crowns at him because he was the one that deserves all the glory and honor. So for without me, you can do nothing. It puts the glory on God. We're his servants. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, there's two kinds of people in the world, those in Christ and those without Christ. If you're without Christ, verse 6 is not a good verse for you. They're cast in the fire and they're burned. Verse 7, again, you see that phrase? I don't know if you ever circled that, in me, in verse 5, in verse 6, in me, in verse 7, in me, and in verse 1 that was in me, in verse 4 was in me, that little phrase, abiding in me, that's the Christian life. Now, if you're abiding in Christ, the first thing you're going to have in your life is fruit. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And that is the Christian life, the fruit of the Spirit, the things that God's ordained for us, the will of God through our lives, we're fruit bearers. Another thing that if you're in Christ, verse 7, if you abide in me, the abiding Christian life, you're having fellowship with God, you're communing with God, you're dwelling with him, you're going to have your prayers answered. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done on you. We have answered prayer. So if we're abiding in Christ, we're going to have fruitfulness, we're going to have answered prayer. And why does God answer our prayers? Verse 8 says, herein is my Father glorified. Through that answered prayer that you bear much fruit in your Christian life by answered prayer, so shall you be my disciples. Verse 9, another quality. You have fruitfulness, you have answered prayer. As my Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. That love that we have for the unsaved, that love that we have for those without Christ, the love that we have for those in Christ, those that we have for love for the Father, the love that we have for the Son, love that we have for the Word of God. As a Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Continue my love. That is another evidence of abiding in Christ. How can you know you're saved and you're abiding in Christ? There's going to be a certain level of fruitfulness, a certain level of answered prayer, a certain level of love in your life. Now, if you look in verse 9, continue my love, you have that in verse 9. Verse 13 is same thing. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, did our Lord Jesus lay down his life for the world? He did. That's how much love he had for us. And because of his great love, we should have that great love. Verse 17, the same thing, this fruitfulness. These things I command you, that you love one another. So if you have the abiding life in Christ, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to have prayers answered. You're going to have the love of God flowing through you. God is love. And those that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. This love is going to be flowing through your life. Verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. When you're in Christ, when you're abiding, when you're dwelling, when you're fellowshipping, there's a certain level of joy that can come into your life. Now, just like I talk about this joy here for a minute, you're abiding in Christ. Why does that abiding life produce joy in your life? Why does that abiding life produce joy? Why does it produce joy?
Assurance is one thing.
Okay, assurance. Assurance of what?
Well, everything that comes your way comes through his hands.
Okay. Doesn't that give us a sense of assurance and of joy? Because a sovereign God has orchestrated my life that whatever happens to me, everything that happened to Job, did that come through the hand of God? Did God know everything Job was going through? And so for us as believers, we can have that deep confidence. Now, on the surface, life can be a real struggle at times, but deep down, in the center of our being, we can know my God has it under control. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I may not like what's happening to me, but I know this deep joy that I can have. Now, what is the difference between joy and happiness? First of all, is there a difference? What's the difference between joy and happiness? My happiness is based on what? Circumstances, right? What happens to me? Happenstance. Happiness is happenstance. What has happened to me? Not everything that happens to me makes me happy. Is that true? Can I get a witness here? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Not everything that happens to me makes me happy. Okay, what is my joy based on? Because joy is based on something totally different. What's my joy based on?
Absolute truth.
Absolute truth of God. And that his God, my joy is based on who God is, not on my circumstances. So my circumstances may go downhill, and my happenstance, what happens to me, go downhill, but is my God still on the throne? Does he still reign? Does he have a future for me? Does he know what's going to happen to me? Has he gone to prepare a place for me? Can I cast all my cares upon him? Does he care for me? That's my joy. That doesn't change. That doesn't change at all. So for the true believer that's abiding in him, that's in Christ, I'm abiding in him, I can have my joy in my life. Can anybody take your joy away?
Not if you don't let it.
It can be a battle at times. I tell you, we can go, Pilgrim's Progress has a great, the dungeon of despair. Okay, Pilgrim went to the dungeon of despair. The giant of despair beat him up. What was the key for him to get out of the dungeon of despair? Does anybody remember in Pilgrim's Progress? How did he get out? What did the evangelist give him when he started his journey? Gave him the key. He took the key out, and the key was the key of promise. And he opened that door of despair, and he made his escape. So, if the devil's beating me up, can I meditate on the promises of God to get out of that dungeon of despair? Give me a promise of God.
I'll never leave you.
Is that something I can take to the bank on? Yeah. Spiritual bank, so to speak. Don't go to Northwest. It won't do you any good. But but yes, we can take it. That those promises. Give me another promise of God. Right, these things are, that you may know, not hope so, but you can know. See, these promises are for us. So the devil's beating you up in your happenstance. Well, turn on him some joy and start claiming some promises of God. And it'll help your life. So, okay, abiding in Christ, what does it produce? Fruitfulness, what does it produce? Answered prayer, what does it produce? Love in my life, what does it produce? Joy. And then down in verse 15, it says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things I've heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Verse 14 says, ye are my friends if ye do whatever I command you. Verse 14, he calls us friends. Now, When you're abiding, you have that communion, you have that relationship, you have that fellowship with God through Christ, but we have fruitfulness, of answered prayer, love, joy, and then we have obedience. You are my friends if you do whatever soever I command you. Now, Amos says, can two walk together, lest they what?
Agree.
Jesus says this, I agree with him. Can we have fellowship then? Can I have fellowship with him? He says this, I agree, we can have fellowship. And obedience. Can you separate obedience from the Christian life? No. Because one of the fruit of the Spirit is love. And if you love God, now, I'm not to say we don't stumble. Okay, we can stumble. But as Christians, if we stumble, 1 John 1:9 is there for us. And we get back up again. God knows those that are his and obedience. So, abiding in Christ. being fruitful for Him. How do I know I'm abiding? Well, I want to have some measure of fruit. I want to have some measure of answered prayer. I want to have some measure of love, some measure of joy, and some measure of obedience. Are those good things you can look at your Christian life about? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's pray here. Dear Lord, I thank You for this short little passage we looked at here tonight about abiding in Christ. And Father, I pray that each of us would have the fruitfulness and the answered prayer and the love and the joy and the obedience we all need in our Christian life. Lord, as we abide in Thee, God, You can prune us, God, that we might be more fruitful. And God, sometimes You take away things from us that we may not understand, we may have thought was good, but it may be, Father, that You have a greater plan for us to be more fruitful for You through that. So, Lord, help us toward this end, that we abide in Christ. And as we do that, Lord, we know we'll please You and love You and honor Your holy name. So help us toward this end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, take